God knows you. He knows all there is to know about you. And that's the great truth expressed in Psalm 139. Listen to the reading of verses 2 through 6. The psalmist said to God, "Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it." It is no exaggeration to say God knows you so thoroughly that he knows there is all to know about you. The scripture passage we've just read mentions three areas in which God's knowledge about us is complete. First, he knows our thoughts. "You understand my thought afar off." Second, he knows our acts. "You surround my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways." Third, he knows our words. "For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it altogether." Now that's all there is to know about us, isn't it? If you could know every thought and word and deed of a person, you would know him thoroughly. And that is how God knows you and me. Notice first that God knows our thoughts. Now that seems almost impossible, but it is a fact mentioned many times in the Bible. No man can truly discern the thoughts of another man, but God can know fully the thoughts of every man. No one but God could do that. Jesus was able to know what men were thinking, even when their thoughts were not expressed in words or actions. He knew and responded to the private thoughts of those who believed his power was derived from Beelzebub, the prince of demons. He responded to the unexpressed thoughts of skeptics present in the synagogue on the Sabbath day when he healed a man with a withered hand. He knew the unspoken thoughts of his disciples when each one of them was wanting to be greatest in the kingdom of God. He knew without anyone informing him, because John chapter 2 verse 23 says that he knew the inner spirit and motives of people who responded to him simply because of the miracles that he had done. He knew all men. He needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Now the thoughts are so important to one's life that God has warned he will judge men's thoughts as well as their actions. Matthew 5 verses 27 and 28 reminds us that as God forbade the act of adultery, he will also judge men who commit adultery in their hearts by lustful thoughts. Now, since the mouth speaks out the abundance of the heart, the thoughts are the prelude to acts, and so God will bring both into judgment. The Word of God is declared to be a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart, Hebrews 4:12. Why, it's no wonder the resolve of the Apostle Paul was casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Now that's a good example for each of us to follow. Not only does God know our thoughts, but the text says God knows our words. Now it is a solemn statement when we read, "There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." It reminds us again of Hebrews 4:13, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Jesus appeared to the disciples on the day of the resurrection. He showed them his hands and feet which had been pierced in the crucifixion, and he ate bread before them to prove that he was truly risen to life. Thomas was absent from the group when Jesus appeared. He responded to their reports saying, "Unless I see in his hand the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Well, 1 week later, Jesus appeared to them again, and he said to Thomas, "Reach here your finger, and behold my hands, and reach here your hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." You see, Jesus knew what Thomas had said. Now, how did Jesus know what Thomas had said? He knows because God knows every word of every person. Words can be spoken into a radio microphone here and heard by people many, many miles away. So why would it seem strange to anyone that God can hear and know every word that a man speaks without a radio and without a microphone? But listen to this warning of Matthew 12. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And Jesus said, "I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned." Not only does God know our thoughts and our words, but God also knows our deeds. Now, a God who can know every thought and every word would surely have no problem knowing every act. In fact, he warned Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, through the words of the prophet Isaiah, "I know your abode, and your going out, and your coming in, and your rage against me." Yes, he even knows the acts of the unbelievers and the enemies who rebel against him and refuse to submit to his will. Hannah, the great mother of Israel who gave birth to the prophet Samuel, testified, "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside you. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." You see, God knows every thought you think, every word you say, and every deed you do. He knows, records, and will call you to account for each and all of them in the day of judgment. The fact warns us against trying to hide sin. And that's why a passage like Proverbs 28:13 would say, "He who covers his sin shall not prosper, but who confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy." Now this fact of the knowledge of God also restrains us from sins of heart as well as of action. Man looks on the outward appearance alone, but God looks upon the heart, and he requires clean hands and a pure heart of the person whom he would receive in peace. There is no substitute, therefore, for holiness in heart and in deed. Without holiness, no man shall see God. And therefore, if the witness of the Holy Spirit is that you are lacking inward or outward cleansing, flee immediately to Jesus Christ, for his blood washes away all sin. Our Father, we take comfort in the fact that you are so intimately acquainted with us, so that you know our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. And so we ask for divine aid, that the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart, and the deeds of our bodies may be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen.